like non-believers who put their hope in material things and the faithfulness of other people or the circumstance, Christians, born-again Christians, can rest their hope in God because He is the one who fulfills our desire. This very, in spite of this very important principle, we often think that we can only enjoy His presence, His will, and security and hope when everything goes well according to our ways. Isn't that true? However, when the thing heaviness of the life comes upon us and difficulties happens, somehow we have a tendency to forget everything that we learned from God, and we start to, what? That's a horrible word to start with a P, panic. Doubt starts to creep in, and hope seems like a fade away. And as we go down that spiral case, and we go down to that abyss of difficulty, and uncertainty and darkness engulfs us, we feel terribly alone. Seems like nobody cares, nobody knows what kind of thing we go through. So why this all of a sudden, this crazy bewilderment happens? Some of you went through and are still going through difficulty in this health. And some of you might go through the financial difficulty. And some of you might have a problem with a relationship. And the one whom you love said, I don't love you anymore. I don't care about you anymore. Or it might be not only your spouse, it can be your boyfriend, girlfriend, or your mother or father, or son and daughter. And you wonder why this kind of thing happened. The three questions pop in our head. Number one is, how can God be in control when Satan is completely out of control? It seems that way, don't you think? The hardship packs it up and it piles up in our life, and the calamity seems like it defies the justification. And we tend to doubt God's purpose in our lives. You said you have something good in my life, but why are these things happening? And it seems like you lost control. Did God lose control? Second question we pop in our heart is, does God care about our prayer? When there's a long silence comes from heaven, and rather than quick answer of yes or quick answer of no, even the no answer would be nice, but there's no answer. Seems like your prayer bounces off the ceiling. Seems like there is more than anything else that's saying, wait. Wait for what, God? When we prayed, we do things according to God's will, and we pray according to God's will, and there's a silence, deadened silence. And we wonder God's goodness. Third question comes in our heart is God fair? We know. Our parents told us life ain't what? Fair. That's a quick answer we get from many people, but unfair treatment troubles us. When we do the right things and suffer for it, and we wonder, is God's justice still available? Questions like this can hurt our spirit if we let them. Some of us try to come to church, and somehow the worship we just did is like foreign to us. The sermon you hear is miles away. And the fellowship we have, that the short time fellowship, hi, bye, pretty much it. As you leave the church, you wonder in your heart, does God care? Do these people care about me? Let me make it very clear to you. God loves you. God cares about you. We care about you. We love you. God knows your situation. We don't. Unless you let us know we cannot help you. God is omniscient, but we are not. If you are in difficulty, let us know. It's good to share with one another. Let's stop and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, your word says, share the burden with one another, pray for one another, encourage one another. Our hope is not in those material things that we see. Our hope is not in the situation or surround circumstance. But rather, our hope is in you, the immovable rock, Jesus Christ. During the time of difficulty in our lives, we can turn to you. We can find rest in the shadow of your wings. Speak to our heart, Lord. Open our heart to receive your wisdom. When your answer is no, when your answer is wait, let us have enough wisdom and courage to say, yes, Lord. And your word says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew the strength, mount up the wings like an eagle, they shall walk not be weary, they shall walk not faint. Give us that strength. And let us have that hope in you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 7, please, in the book of Luke. Now when he concluded, he, that is Jesus Christ, all he sang in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, and a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent the elders of the Jews to him and pleading with him to come and heal his servant. Verse 4, and when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. For he loves our nation, and he built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and he was already not far from the house. Centurion sent his friends to him and saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think that I'm worthy to come to you. But say the word, that my servant will be healed, for I also am a man under authority, having soldier under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. To my servant do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such a great faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent, returning to the house, and found the servant well who had been sick. He was a Roman centurion. Centurion means he is the officer of the 100 soldiers, which is the backbone of the Roman army. His slave, one of his slaves, very dear to him, probably whether he's like a father to him or brother, even like a son to him. This kind-hearted Roman soldiers, he was at the edge of the city and he didn't know what to do for this slave's illness. And he felt helpless, so he, in desperation, he sent out help from this Jewish rabbi. This miracle worker region of Galilee, he reached out to Jesus with a great faith. We don't need to have the same kinds of fear that the centurion had. Why? Because we can come to Jesus directly without representative. Some of the religions say that you have to have somebody in between you and God. For asking God's forgiveness, you need somebody to confess your sin. Or some Excuse me. And somebody says, well, you have to have the me in there to carry out your prayer request to God. That's not true. According to my Bible, according to the Bible on your left, you can come to God with all the confidence directly to Him if you are born again Christian. We are impressed not only by the love the centurion he has for his slave, but also the humility he has toward Jesus. As a Jew, he's not supposed to enter into Gentiles' home, but he considered that also at the same time, centurion him, he thought he is not worthy to come to Jesus Christ. Two Roman soldiers displaying humility is unheard, especially to the Jewish subject. The characteristic most impressive Jesus was a man's faith. According to Gospel, there's three incidents that Jesus was marveled at somebody's faith. First one is this centurion whose faith Jesus was marveled at. Great faith. However, in Nazareth, he was marveled at unbelief of the Jewish people. In other words, no faith. Now, there's another Gentile whose daughter was demon-possessed, and Jesus cured him, rebuked the demons and released her from the demon possession. He mentioned that she had a great faith. One thing we should not forget here is this. He responded to the centurion's request right away, but he started to walk toward the centurion's home. Walk toward. Can Jesus say the word from the distance, cure the man? Yes. Then why did he start to physically walk toward the home? It takes time to walk toward the centurion's home. Why not he said that there and then? That brings a very important point. This might answer some of your questions and some of my questions toward God and why God delays things. When it comes to our growth process, the Lord is never in a hurry. We focus on the present need while He sees the big picture. He's more interested in helping us to grow through our problem than fixing the problem right away by waiting. By waiting, Jesus allowed the centurion the budding faith to blossom all the way to the maturity. While we wait upon the Lord, we renew the strength. We end up mount up the wings. Of course, that's a figuratively. So Jesus gave a hope of God to this centurion's household. Let's move down to verse 17. Now it happens the day after that Jesus, he went into the city called Nain, and would you underline next phrase, please? Many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And underline next phrase again, a large crowd from the city was with her. And the Lord also Lord saw her, and he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin. Those who carried him stood still, and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. I bet that was quite a sight. And he he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorify God, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people. This report about him went throughout all Judea and all surrounding region. Would you put up? There we go. Thank you. There's a Capernaum. This is where Jesus was. And this is the Sea of Galilee. It's the Tiberias. From here to this Nain right here is the southwest of the Capernaum is about 25 miles. I don't know how big that city was, so you just know the location of it. When she went there, she met a person who was standing at the edge of the death again. This time it was a widow. She already lost her husband, dearly loved husband, to this death. This time, she's standing at the edge of death again and seeing her son slipping over the edge. While he was slipping over the edge to the death, her heart, her hope also went down. And it was the day, on the funeral, that his body was carried out of the city. And that's when she crossed the path with Jesus Christ. Now I see the direct contrast. I actually underlined a couple of things. I actually underlined the crowd. They're following Jesus Christ. These people were, without knowing me, they were following the author of life. And there was another large crowd who were following the coffin, the death, that ended life on this earth. The Word of Faith people, the Word of Faith movement people, those teachers said, you have to have a faith in faith for God to move and do our prayer request and do wonderful miracles. At this point, none of the people in the funeral procession had any faith. Widow, the mother, didn't even ask Jesus. Probably she didn't even knew him. And he had a compassion on her and touched the coffin and raised this man. If there's any miracle that would be at the top of the list, it's wonderful, most wonderful miracle, it would be the raising the dead. Don't you think? And you may wonder, why couldn't Jesus do the same thing for my loved one? I don't know. He has a different reason. Compassion has been defined as your pain in my heart. Your pain in my heart. Jesus' heart was aching for this disheartened woman who lost hope and too numb to cry. Out of the depth of her mercy, his mercy, he produced an incredible miracle, raising the son and giving him back to her. Each funeral I was involved, there was one time I was doing the funeral for a man whom I did not know, but I knew the son well. And we did, because he was a member of a church in Green Valley area, so I did the funeral service there. The man who died was a Christian. After I talked with a family member and I asked him, is it okay for me to give an altar call so that I can introduce Jesus Christ to some of the people who comes here? And they agreed. They said, a great idea, let's go for it. So I integrate my message with the funeral message and about the salvation of Jesus Christ. At the end of the message, I give an altar call, and four people raised their hand, and they received Jesus Christ into their heart. Because of one man's death, four people come to know Jesus, and they will not have an eternal death. Each death has a reason for it. For that death, I can say, yes, there is a reason for it. Other death, I do not know. Can you imagine this funeral procession that's turning into the wild chaos, and of course, a happy chaos, and laughing and rejoicing? And at the same time, awestruck fear of God. Jesus sees beyond the physical to the spiritual. He has the power to resuscitate and reuniting body and the spirit. That is the ultimate our our ultimate hope, isn't it? Not the resuscitation, but resurrection. Resurrection in Christ Jesus. Someday, trumpet call of God will sound. Someday, those who are in Christ Jesus, but those who are dead, will raise up first. And Jesus will come down to take us to our eternal home. That is resurrection. That can happen any time. But that will happen to only to those who believe in Jesus Christ. Those who are born again Christian. Not to the one who comes to church just for as a religious duty. Are you ready for that? Because there's nothing that holds rapture at this point. It can happen any time. Let's move to the verse 18. So the disciples of John, they reported to him and concerning all these things. And John, calling two of his disciples to him and sent them to Jesus, saying, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? When the man... excuse me. When the men had come to him, they said that John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? At that very hour, he cured many infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, Go and tell John the things that you have seen and heard. And blind see, the lame walk, and lepers are cleansed, and deaf hear. Dead are raised, and poor have gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. When the messenger of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitude concerning John. What did you go out to see? Go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in a soft garment? Indeed, those who are gorgeously appareled and live in luxury are in the king's court. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. For I say to you, among those born of woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Would you underline next phrase, please? But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And when all people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, but and not having been baptized by him. Could this be the same man who declared a few months earlier, flashed the announcement that Jesus is the Son of God, and lightning like across the Black Sea? Verse 29, chapter 1, book of John, please. Well, it's right there, so why don't we just read that thing? It's easier. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, with the exclamation point right there. Sometime along the line, this exclamation point somehow called up by itself and become a question mark. Goes to the, let's go back to the verse 20. It says, Are you the coming one, or should we look for another? What happened? This exclamation point and turned into a question mark. What happened to him? John the Baptist never known the doubt. Hunger, yes. Loneliness, often. But doubt, never. All of a sudden, he's having a doubt toward God, toward the Son of God. What happened to him? He had raw truth. He had rugged truth. An uncompromising message. While he was sitting inside of the prison and facing imminent death, his heart started to shake, just like any one of us would go through. Instead of raising up his fist of victory, and he's raising a question filled with a doubt. John was reasoning himself, am I making a mistake considering my cousin as Messiah? Or should we look for another one? While you and I go through a time of difficulty physically, spiritually, emotionally, Satan throws us with a fiery dart that is a seed of doubt in our heart. When discouragement led us to believe that Jesus isn't really who we thought that he is, we need to clear our eyes to look to God's word and to see who really he is. If you're looking for who Jesus is in any other area, or any other source other than this book, you will be confused, you will be misled, and you will, I guarantee you, you will walk away from God. And still not getting an answer. Then how can we, who are born-again Christian, be greater than, I actually underlined the one phrase, how can we, born-again Christian, be greater than John the Baptist? All the Old Testament prophets, including John the Baptist, they were simply repeating what God told them to repeat. But we, born-again Christians, have God himself residing in our hearts, the Holy Spirit. That's why we are greater than John the Baptist, not because who we are, because of whom we have in our heart. Verse 31, and the Lord said, to what then shall I be like in the man of this generation, and what are they like? They are like a children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, saying, we played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not weep. For the John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, he has a demon. Son of Man has come, and eating and drinking, you say, look, glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of a tax collector and sinner. But the wisdom is justified by all her children. Jesus compared this generation of people to like a childish people, not childlike. There's a tremendous difference between childish and childlike. Childish people are the people who demand things in their ways and nothing pleases them. We need to have a childlike faith. Hold on. I had a frog this morning and it's just sticking in my throat. People who want to avoid the truth, and they will come up with any excuse. And one of the quick things they come up with, excuse they come up with, is a preacher whom they listen and they criticize the preacher. This case, they criticize John the Baptist. Let's bring it to our area. Some people say, I cannot understand your accent. Or some people say, I don't like your teaching style. Or some people say, you're not as funny as some other preacher's names. You include them. Let me put it this way. If you want to listen to God, you can understand me. I guarantee you. If you choose to listen to God, you can understand me. Because I give you the raw word of God, uncompromising word of God. One person told me through somebody that you convict me too much, so I don't like to come to your church. Bye. Don't let the door hit you. One thing I won't do is compromising. When you come to hear, you will get Word of God without compromise. If you want somebody to tickle your ears and just compromise the truth so make you feel good, there's many churches that will do that for you. I'm not here to please you, but I'm here to please God and encourage you for you to know the truth. there are people who will not face the truth. As the Word of God said, in the later days, that people will heap up the teachers who will tickle their ears. Folks, it's our choice to hear the truth or not to hear the truth. Hope, again, is not something what we expect. It is something we never dream. It's a wild, improbable tale that kind of like, pinch me, I'm dreaming. Abraham didn't adjust his bifocal to see his grandson, but his son. He never thought it would happen. Moses, who was told that he cannot enter into the promised land, he was not standing next to the Miriam or Aaron, but he was standing next to Elijah and transferred transfigured Christ in the promised land. And two disciples of Jesus Christ on the way to the Emmaus, and they didn't expect the Jesus. When they would hand out the bread and they looked at the hands, and was pierced. That's hope. If we expect something, if we get something, that's expectation. Hope is not expectation. It never could be done with our own strength. God gives hope to those who trust in Him in spite of the situation and the circumstance therein. We must take our eyes off from the circumstance and what we see, and focus on the immortal, invisible, God only wise, and His unchanging word. God never fails. Let's make an application. Number one, we need to share our eternal hope in God with those who are going through dark tunnel without any hope. Share Jesus Christ with them in love. We gave you a handout in the bulletin? No. The flyer? Yes. We put this in the bulletin. This is not for you. You're already here. Do you know how to get here? Give this to somebody whom you know and they don't know Jesus Christ. There's a time for the schedule. On the back, there's a track. Even if you don't know how to lead them to Christ, or you're kind of shy about leading them to Christ, hand them, follow this. Simple. Lead them to the Christ. I said this many times before, but it's worth repeating. Do you know what's better than going to heaven? Taking somebody with you. So share Jesus with them and help them physically. If you can. Second application, doubting may temporarily disturb us, but it's not permanently destroyed our relationship with Christ. And you may say, what about that doubting Thomas? Whenever Thomas doubted, it was honest doubt. Jesus met him at his level. When he said, unless I put my hands into his hand, unless I put my hands into the side, I will not believe. You know what Jesus did? He showed up, put your hands in my hand, put your hand on my side, and believe. Thirdly, being childlike is commendable, but being childish is unacceptable. God loves childlike faith, but throwing temper tantrum like a childish attitude? No. To doubt is one thing, but to throw the God's spiritual food and throw a temper tantrum, that's another thing. Let's stand up and pray.